Isai Amidi, and he is the president and CEO of the Tilton Play Center in Silicon Valley, which is a little bit like what we used to be, except bigger and so on. He's got a community of about 150 companies. As I said, he's a serial entrepreneur, been involved in high-tech companies and other companies involved in the water area and so on for over 20 years. One of the interesting points of our company, I suppose, is that we had two companies sold in the last year for $750 million. So that can't be bad. So anyway, I can't go up to Saeed and you can introduce yourself a little bit more. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Pat. Appreciate it. Really a great pleasure to be here and to see you see the Nova. It's, I was kind of, to give you a little idea how I got into this business, I started my first company when I was 19, partially because I was very entrepreneurial, partially because I had to. Sort of, I was incredibly a spoiled kid out of Iran, kind of trying to see where I should vacation next, what I should do for the summer, from one of the largest industrial group family businesses in Iran. And in 1979, we had a little change. And we sort of, to much of my father's credit, when he arrived in California, he sat us down in the first 2 weeks. And he said, I don't know what will happen in our country, but we better start, getting settled here and doing business here and building our lives here. And the kind of wake-up call got us started. And I started a company called ALPS, American Liquid Packaging System, that I still run till today. It's about $150 million business in packaging technology and in bottled water business that we have a bunch of offices and bottled water springs in Europe, primarily in Spain, Austria, and Italy. And then just to kind of build in how I got into the technology business, how many of you have been to Palo Alto or Silicon Valley? Quite a big group. When I got together with friends over lunch or dinner, and I used to tell them I do bottled water, they kind of laughed at me. And they said, seriously, what do you do? I said, no, I do bottled water. Almost everybody is in technology, either building technology or, working for one of the large companies like Apple, HP, Oracle, or they are VCs. I mean, like my kid's school, I think we have 100 VC parents at our kid's school. I mean, when you're watching my Sophie play soccer, we just kind of look and say, what did you invest in this week? What did you exit out of last year? And it's just incredible, the culture of the startup world in Silicon Valley. And, we have a little building in Palo Alto on University Avenue. And we used to, other than occupying it ourselves, we used to rent it out to some startups. It just happens to be a really, what I would call, good karma building. Logitech, per Luigi Zappacasta, when he moved from Switzerland, his company, to Palo Alto, he was my next door neighbor. And of course, he was much more successful than me. But he built Logitech in US, and it's right now a couple of $1 billion turnover with manufacturing facilities all over the world. And along the journey, I told the owner of the building, if you ever want to sell the building, you should sell it to me because I love this building. That's where I started my business, and I really felt special attachment to the building. So finally, one day, Mr. Pappen called me and said, I'm selling the building tomorrow. If you like to buy it, I promise you I will call you, so I'm calling you. So I said, where are you? He told me he's at his house. I went over to his house and I said, how much are you selling it? He said, I'm selling it for $1 million. And I said, I really want it. I knew the market a little bit, so it was a really good price. And he said, but if for you is $1.2 million. I told him, why? You said you just have an offer of one. He said, this guy is a creditworthy buyer. I remember you were late on your rent all the time. So I'm not sure if you can close. So needless to say, we shook hands. I typed the little purchase and sell agreement, and we bought the building. And by coincidence, PayPal came to rent space from us. And my brother, who handles the real estate, said to PayPal, you guys are not creditworthy tenants. So he charged them a year of rent in advance, or maybe 2 years, and invested some of the money in PayPal. And that's how we got started in this business. Then it's funny, because in the same building we had Google, which came in with like 4 people, and then they grew to 50 people. And we kind of thought about maybe there is something to combining a place that is in the center of Silicon Valley and innovation and startups. And I thought maybe this model can scale from that little building. And that's how Plug and Play Tech Center was born. Of course, this was a lot of history in between, but it took about 3 years ago, we started Plug and Play Tech Center, and we actually bought a building from Philips Semiconductor, a building that was going to be torn down in 60 days. It was the old headquarter and R&D facility of Philips, and we purchased it, as you would imagine, at a good price, because they were planning to tear it down and sell it at land value. And that's where my journey began, in really occupying 80% of my time in the technology business. And to just kind of tell you a snapshot of where we are, right now we have 3 facilities in Silicon Valley. The biggest one being in Sunnyvale. Then Redwood City, we have about 20, 30 startups. And in Palo Alto, the old University Avenue building, we are having 1 or 2 other smaller buildings that we turned in a plug and play. And you know, before I go into a little bit of depth in what I am trying to do at the tech center, I wanted to ask the audience, what do you guys think is required for a startup like PayPal or Google to be successful? Any show of hands? Generally, you need
I suppose it's a combination of a good team, a good market, finance.
Those are absolutely the critical.
Passionate self-belief.
I was looking for passion and belief and drive. You know, because again, if I say what drove me is my lifestyle was really good before the Iranian Revolution. And after 1979, I didn't want to change my lifestyle. So I had to be successful. You know, no matter what I did, I tried extremely hard. And if you have a teammate, which I did also, I was working with my brother as a partner, we kind of worked 24/7, and we still were late paying the rent. But it is really the team that you keep driving hard. You look for a big market. Hopefully, like Larry and Sergey, you have some technical capabilities that separate you from other groups. I personally think Larry and Sergey did a research on search, and they kind of looked around and they kind of tried to find out what is the best search around the world. They visited Xerox PARC, they visited AltaVista, they visited Yahoo. And one of my partner in real estate is, I believe his name is Harry Chung. And he did a little research in University of Arizona on search 6 months before Larry and Sergey did that. And they got a hold of his research, and finally they convinced him to join Google on the second try. But they really thought they can improve search. That was the fundamental decision they made. And then actually last night I had dinner in London with Omid. I don't know how many of you know his name, Omid Kordestani. But they say Google's business mind was Omid, because he was generating revenue at Netscape, which was sort of like the gate to internet. And he kept working at Netscape saying, we have to monetize this gateway. And Netscape kind of went a different way towards software and not monetizing their browser. And Omid kind of joined Google and said, we would monetize search, or the gateway to internet, but at a little more front of the gate. So kind of going back to plug and play, I mentioned to Pat last year was a very, you could say, a slow year in the IPO world, in the exit world. You know, one of my good friends is the head of Goldman Sachs technology practice. And on average, they take 10 to 20 companies public. In 2001, they took 80 companies public. Last year, we had one technology company go public. So there was absolutely no exit except M&A. But lucky enough, we had four exits. One of them was Danger for about $600 million to Microsoft. The second one was PowerSet for about $120 million. And then Sabio Lab and Sendori. But I also feel, again, I'm here to promote Silicon Valley. I'm here to say, I think this innovation center that you're in, you could learn a lot from one another. And again, when plug and play, we have 200 plus startups. I think their biggest learning comes from the community. It comes from the other founders, other CEOs. And as I'm working very closely with MIT, Harvard, Cornell, I tell all of the entrepreneurs, you could keep your technical team in Boston or your technical team in Ithaca, New York. But if you want to do business in the Web 2.0, in mobile, in applications for Facebook, your chances of success doubles by coming to Silicon Valley. And I feel exactly the same way in respect to Europe. It's just, when I look at startups like I did in Delft on Friday, the ecosystem they work in, it's so much smaller than what we are used to in Silicon Valley. So you could almost like meet five companies in your field every day while you're in Silicon Valley. And I think that learning experience gives you a great edge. And that competition type of thing. So just to kind of tell you, it is 100% private company, plug and play. We have a little investment arm, which is sort of like our angel investment arm. And then we have our real estate. And I was mentioning to Pat that I try to run each division like an entrepreneur, cash flow positive and profitable. And just to always, I like to have a goal. So right now we have, you're helping approximately 300 companies in and out of Plug and Play. And I would like to have that number be 1,000 by the end of 2010. And let me kind of clarify what I mean help, or what I mean to be part of their journey. I would like that, I think we have a gentleman from UC Nova named Connor at Plug and Play. I would love, even though I didn't get to know Connor till last week, he's been there 6 months, which I'm ashamed of not knowing him till last week. I would love that if they ask Connor, why were you successful? Who helped you in your journey? Part of it, he would say, was Silicon Valley, being in Plug and Play, and we get additional funding, we get additional connections, and we learned a lot and we became more successful. If I reach that by the end of 2010, I have reached my goal. And that's just the number out there. So, sort of like for any startup, I feel you need to have a combination of everything to be successful. You know, again, if I had to say what area I am most proud of is our community. They are incredibly helpful to each other. And, you know, I noticed when I was walking around the center, you guys have a great cafeteria, meeting place. We enhance that with unbelievable amount of effort. We have a community meeting once a month that six startups pitch to the community and they say what they need. Then we have something called Circle of CEO, that we combine 15 CEOs that we think they have the common interest, and we have them meet once a month for about 4 hours, almost being each other's advisors. How many of you know Young President's Organization, YPO? It is the one organization that I belong to that incredibly changed my life. And these are presidents of small and large companies that we get together once a month from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. First, when I heard about it, I said, you're crazy. Why would I want to waste one day of my month at this organization? But I can tell you, I have belonged to it 14 years. It's been the education that I didn't have at Stanford or Harvard. It's been the trusted advisors that I really needed. So I kind of copied Young President's Organization to the Circle of CEOs. And I, whatever I learned at YPO, I try to implement in this circle. The events, like the week before I came here, first week of January, we had six events. The first event on Monday was MIT Tech Track. They brought 120 students, 40 from MBA school, 80 from engineering school, and we combined them at night with 200 alums. And we had a couple of speakers from MIT, a couple of VCs from MIT, and that's how we started. I think it was Monday, January 4th or 5th. That's how we started the year. On Wednesday, we had Cornell and Harvard in two different sections of Plug and Play. Again, Cornell had an investment forum that we had six companies pitch to about 30 investors, and Harvard had just a speaker program. So we feel events are really the catalyst for networking, catalyst for getting deals done. And we love universities. We work very, very closely with 20 US universities. and we would like to reach out to 20 international universities. And then our international effort, we, like, again, to use an example, on Saturday I played golf with one of my friend, Bernard Leotard, in London. He was the founder of Business Object, maybe one of the most successful international company that started in Paris, has a joint head office in San Jose, California. And last year he sold his company after 15 years at $6.3 billion to SAP. So we kind of feel the talent like Bernard and his partner are everywhere. It's just if they get access or chance of meeting the people he met in Silicon Valley and raised additional funds, accelerated his success, thought about building a global company that made him very successful. So in fact, Bernard just recently invested in another Paris-based company that just opened an office in Silicon Valley. It's an open source software company. So he said, say, the CEO and the founder reminds me of myself 20 years ago. So our effort is to work with innovation centers like this, and after, let's say, they have incubated a startup 1 or 2 years, if the startup has global possibilities, we would like to have reach them, help them raise additional money, and then grow. Big corporation, even though they are really hard to deal with, but they are a big part of any technology company. Partnering with Cisco, IBM, Oracle, even Microsoft, it's sometimes absolutely necessary, depending on what you want to execute. So we have about 30 of these corporations which believe in innovation in a startup, and they come to our facility once every 2 months to a quarter and spend half a day with us. To kind of tell you, one of the events was with Nokia. They brought 6 of their companies that they had invested in the application area. We brought 6 of our companies with the CTO and about 10 of Nokia's employees. We spent about 8 hours together. And it was so successful that we're going to do this once a year, and we do a smaller version quarterly. Recently, Sony Ericsson, I think Ericsson is around here, huh? Sony Ericsson has built a new SWAT team in Silicon Valley, in Redwood City. They grew in our Redwood City facility from 2 to 3 people to 50 people in less than 6 months. And their objective is, as people are downsizing right now, they're going to grow to 250 people by the end of 2009. And this team is kind of innovating the new generation of cell phones, new generation of operating system and applications, kind of partnering with Android of Google to compete with iPhone. And that is the dynamics that it stays in Silicon Valley. You know, just to kind of tell you, our organization, we are very, very focused on Web 2.0, SaaS software, mobile, and telecommunication. But I cannot tell you how many Facebook applications I have invested in, or how many iPhone company applications we participated in. Just to give you a little antidote, I love little stories. There was a Facebook class taught at Stanford, 30 students. There was 15 startups out of that 30 students that actually got funding and rolled out. So it was so successful that this semester they are teaching the iPhone app combined with the Apple people. I mean, I've been trying to reach the professor at the iPhone app and he doesn't give me an appointment yet. You know, it is just because he's in such a big demand. These are our three facilities. Then the funding is, we feel, is again, if you have a great idea, a great team, and you don't have the right, what we call smart money, it's very hard to succeed. So this little Amidzat, which is part of my last name, Amid, is our little investment arm. Last year in 2008, we invested in 16 companies. And as I mentioned to one of the people I met, we invest very little. Our average investment is $100,000, $200,000. But we combine our investment with other angels, like XG is ex-Googlers. We think Google created around 250 millionaires in the Bay Area and about 7 billionaires. So they have a lot of money to invest. So we co-invested with a lot of Googlers in startups. We partner with a lot of serial entrepreneurs who, let's say, built companies, took them public. And we feel any startup, any two, three founders need a handful of mentor and advisor on top of them. Much better than the VCs. They are much more passionate. They spend more time with the entrepreneur. And we really like to do an angel round of $500,000 to $1.5 million, almost parallel to the VC funding, or within 6 months apart. So we kind of do a little angel round, $500,000 to $1.5 million. But almost before doing that, I have already ran it by about 5 VCs. So I kind of know my chances of getting VC funding is better than 70% before we put in the angel money. But again, my 100 individuals that some of them even office at Plug and Play are part, big part of the community. The VCs, again, as a lot of people think they sit on the other side of the desk and you have to be tough on them and they want to take a big chunk of your company. But realistically, I can tell you, Google would not have been Google if they didn't take the $25 million from KP and Sequoia. Mike Moritz actually helped to build the company. So, you know, Larry and Sergey were really smart. Then they had a group of angel investors like Andy Beschkelheim and Ram Charan, who used to be at Netscape as well. And, you know, handful, I think they raised $700,000-$800,000 before the VCs came in. But if you didn't have them, they wouldn't think about building a global company. I mean, when Google was saying we're going to beat AltaVista or Yahoo or we're going to compete with Microsoft, everybody thought they are crazy. But that's the vision they had and the drive they had got them there. So in the VC world, we have about 25 VCs who come to Plug and Play every month for 3-4 hours. And we usually look at 3 to 5 startups. And I tell my VC friends, please don't pick on our startup too much. In fact, I call it brainstorming with the VC. I ask the VC to kind of consult with my startups about their idea. And then if they get excited and they want to fund them, they can set up a follow-on meeting, which is also on our path. But I really think the VCs are incredibly smart. They see a lot of opportunities. They are on a lot of boards. And if they want to help you to choose the right path or the right focus, they can do the great job. And little antidote about the VC world, other than the 25 VCs that visit Plug and Play, and since I am meeting them a lot, I started playing golf a lot as well. I thought the angel money will little dry up due to the financial market. So I started a campaign in December to meet 100 VCs. I am right now at number 65. And I asked my VC partners that I'd like you to move down and do 10 angel investments in 2009. And some of them are open to the idea. Some of them told me, say, you're crazy. If we don't deploy more less than $5 million, we cannot spend our $500 million fund. But I have been able to convince some of them to make a subgroup from their partners who would do some angel investing. And I really think it's going to be a catalyst to growth in 2009 and 10, as the angel money, I think, will dry up a little. These are some of our relationship. How many of you know Excel or Draper? Just to kind of tell you, Excel, we were supposed to be co-investor in Facebook together, but unfortunately, we decided not to participate at the $100 million valuation. But Excel is the lead investor with Peter Thiel, a founder's fund in Facebook. Sequoia, we have a 10-year relationship with. Draper, in particular, Tim Draper and myself, we spend about 4 hours every month together looking at 5 startups, and on average, we've been investing in 1 per month. This is a small, like I mentioned to you, the angel fund. So we only invest together maximum of $300,000-$400,000, but we do 1 a month right now. And we also expect not to be the full angel. We would like the other angel to fill up the round, and so the average round is $800,000. The Canaan partner is an East Coast Silicon Valley company, and just to kind of tell you what happens, we invested in a small company out of Berkeley. The name of the company was called Polection. We did it November, not 2008, but 2007. We put together a $400,000 angel fund, and then they did polls on Facebook, sort of like, is Sony Ericsson better or iPhone? Is BlackBerry better? Or it was an incredible instant polls, instant market research. They had revenue when I invested the 150 of the 400,000. November, we put give him the check. December 5th or 10th, I remember, we had our first board meeting. And the VC who co-invested with me, Mike Hodges, they had briefed him, but I was just coming out of overseas trip, so I had not followed the progress. And in the first board meeting, they said, Saeed, we changed our company name. Now our company name is Zeus. We don't do polls anymore. We are not dating Saeed. And I almost fell off of my chair. But they said the polls they did, so many of them were about who is good looking, who is not. Are you going to go out or not? And they said, we decided to give the market what it wants. And they changed it to first love something, and then they changed it to Zeus. And it's right now the number one site in America and in the UK for dating, on top of social network. And just to see how it works in Silicon Valley, I was telling you about Canaan Partners. Deepak Kamra's kids go to school with my kids at Sacred Heart. So I always knew Deepak had something to do with dating. So I asked Deepak, you know, those dating stuff you told me. He says, yeah, I've been on the board of Match.com for 10 years, and I have the two best dating sites in India. So I told him, do you want to look at this social dating site we invested in? And I have never seen anybody act that fast. Less than 2 weeks, he gave them $4 million. And as I said, the company is doing incredibly well, growing almost 10-20% a month, and it's profitable. So we love our VC partners as long as they give our startup money. So. I mentioned to Pat, in November, we had 14 events at Plug and Play. So we had a little auditorium, little game room, little cafeteria where we could host up to 100, 150 people. But I thought the events is such a big part of our ecosystem that I actually built the event hall where we can host up to 400 people now. And we have an average 2-3 events per month. Just to kind of give you mobile beat, I don't know how many of you know VentureBeat or TechCrunch. It's sort of they are the two premier technology reporting. So we co-sponsored MobileBeat. Android founders were there, Nokia, Samsung, all the handset manufacturers, all the carriers. But more importantly, we had over 100 mobile application companies there. So you could just kind of immerse yourself for 8 hours into mobile application at Plug and Play. So for my startups, they don't need to go out, they don't need to fly anywhere. They can go to an event almost twice a week and have speakers like MySQL, like Martin Mikos, he came and talked. I am quite shocked, like you said, why do these people come? But they love to give back. And as soon as you say, I have 200 entrepreneurs in the audience, they accept coming. Like we are having a Dartmouth event in March. The CEO of eBay, John Donahue, is our keynote. For an audience of 100 people, and usually you couldn't get him for anything. Of course, he's a Dartmouth grad as well, so that helped a little. But it's just incredible how much this event's acceleration helps. This is our corporate relationship. Best Buy reached us and said, Saeed, we heard about you guys. We like to invest in about 6 companies a year. Can we come and look at some of your companies? Last week before I left, T-Ventures from T-Mobile spent half a day with us looking at 6 companies. Sort of like I've been pushing our relationships with corporations, VCs, incredibly hard. When I put my mind into something, I just push and push and get it done, sort of like entrepreneur. But now, thank God, I think we have some wind in our sails and people contact us to come and to meet our entrepreneurs. And to the VC world, they say, Saeed, if I have a startup, can you do a fast track for them inside PayPal or inside Microsoft? Because again, that is really hard to set up normally. Then from the services, we inherited about a $4 million data center from Philips. I, frankly, this was wrong. I had $1 million for my startup budget, and then my data center manager came and said, Saeed, if you want to run this data center, we need these switches, we need this load balancer. So I was $1 million off on my startup budget. But nevertheless, the data center is doing really, really well. Like, how many of you use Amazon Cloud? Anybody, startup? Yeah. I think that's revolution on its own. You could, with $20, with $50 a month, have the functionality of huge data center behind you. So we are actually in a joint venture with Sun, building a cloud inside our data center. We are launching it in end of January, early February. And we copied everything the Amazon cloud is doing, except at fraction of the cost together with Sun. My, really, I don't know why, I think I'm a little bit crazy, but I love startups out of universities. So last year in our 16 investments, half of them were straight out of university. Two or three founders, barely, I could say, none of them had even incorporated. So we actually first introduced them to one of our lawyer friends to incorporate them, and then we fund them, and then we get VC funding as a follow-on. But we did a couple of startups out of Cornell, a couple of startups out of Stanford, Berkeley, and University of Waterloo, Canada. And just to kind of tell you what is my goal with the university, we say if we are a partner with Stanford or with MIT, I like to be exposed to 20 best entrepreneurs out of that university. And if I engage and invest in 2 per year, I think the relationship has borne fruit. They might not be successful. They might not make it. You know, on Thursday, I was in Barcelona, and one of our startup from Berkeley called me at 12 o'clock at night. Sorry, one of our startup out of Cornell. And he said, Saeed, we are having internal fighting with my other 2 founders. And I said to him, good luck, I'm in Barcelona having, you know, tapas. You know, I cannot help you. But, I mean, it's a lot of headaches when the entrepreneurs are young and this. But for every headache, you have so much energy, so much passion. They just have no limits. They think they can conquer the world. So I really love startups out of universities. I think it's coming to an end. PACT is something we launched, I think it was also in October or November. 30 days before I launched it, I said, I want to accelerate. It's called Plug and Play Acceleration and Collaboration Track. And we would like a startup that is in Barcelona to come to Plug and Play, get funding, get corporate partnership within 3 months. And I told my colleagues, Maud and Joop, who run our international effort, I want to have it 30 days from now, this event. They all told me, say, you're crazy. You cannot run an international event in 30 days. But we had about 300 people there. I have some video DVDs of the PACT if anybody would like. But we had, for example, Tim Draper as a speaker. We had Ron Conway. You think I am crazy? I have invested in about 60 companies. Ron has invested in over 200 companies in the past 5 years. He's sort of like the angel king of the valley. And then again, my friend Omid Kordestani, who is in charge of all revenue at Google, came and talked. So we had like 2 days of packed speakers. The first day was how to do business in Silicon Valley. How do you accelerate your company? We had people from Barcelona, Activa. We had about 10 universities from Europe represented. and 10 universities from North America. And then on the second day, we had an investment forum for about 45 companies that four of them got funded. Primarily from overseas, from Canada and Australia was our biggest delegate.
This thing doesn't finish. This is almost the same, you know, sort of like our VC relationship, corporate relationship, network of about 600 entrepreneurs. We have 25, 26 international startups, and by the end of this year, I would like to have 60. So we would love to have one or two more from Ireland. And again, the Barcelona Chamber of Commerce and Barcelona Activa, we did a sort of alliance deal with them that they introduced to us two or three companies per month. If we can, we have a face-to-face meeting, if not, via WebEx. And if the company has the passion of becoming global, then we bring them to California for 3 months. My colleague Maud was at Politecnico Milano looking at some companies. So again, you could, this international effort, we started in October last year. And I don't know why, I think it has the biggest potential of all our activities. Primarily because I say that if I can help a company out of Stanford or a startup out of Stanford, who's almost on Sand Hill Road, where all of the VCs are, and they know how to maneuver in California, versus Connor, who came from Ireland, doesn't know as much how to maneuver, how to get connected in Silicon Valley. So I think it's sort of like the best match for us. And also, since I was 19, I was very, very involved internationally. Right now, I have about 800 people in our water company in Europe in 34 cities. So I am not scared of different languages, different currency, different cultures. I believe if you have something that will make 2 and 2 equals 10 instead of 4, people will come together and will execute. So I'm really excited about our international effort. This is like MySQL, Martin Mikos. It's again, it just happens that he's also part of YPO, and we co-hosted an event together last in November at Plug and Play for 300 YPO members. And, you know, all of them love to help startups. This is my friend Bernard from Business Object. Again, you could see that he raised money from Partech in Paris, then came to US, did two more rounds of $2 million funding. And he just joined a VC firm in, I always forget the name of it. Is Belderman or something? It used to be the old Benchmark.
Balderton,
yeah. He just joined the three other partners, Mike Evans over there, and he just raised $430 million in December. So, and also the VCs, part of my campaign, I only like VCs with dry powder, the ones that have raised money in the last 18 months, because they really need to invest. And this is a really good VC firm, because Bernard inherited four companies, but he says that he would like to invest in four this year. So he has a bandwidth. Should we do a link to the video, or are we done? What do you guys think? Shall we do some questions and answers? And then if you guys will do a link to a couple of, you know, speakers I had at PAC, it's like a 2-minute excerpt of what they said. Question and answers. Sorry, I kept talking so much.
Saeed, how do you make money?
I tell you, I need to make money as I warm up. No, I have, I make money on my real estate. I bought the building at a very good price. And then when I filled it up, I mentioned to Pat, I almost doubled or tripled the value of the building. I make money on my data center. But I think these are normal money. I mean, it's good business, good common sense, and it gives me sustainability. It gives me power not to rush, because again, you could make a little money as you go on. But the real money I like to make is on my little investments. And we'll see, time will tell, but I think if I see Connor for 3 to 6 months, or sometimes 1 year, and every company that is at Plug and Play, I have an option to invest in them. It's part of the lease. And you could tell if they keep adding servers downstairs in the data center, if you see the faces at lunch, you almost know who is doing well, who is not doing well. So the real money I hope to make is based on my investments. That is sort of my game. It's still too early, though, to tell. We made good money on PayPal, though, and we made pretty good money on Danger.
So what's the timeline you would expect to return on investment? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
Generally, the VCs say it's 5 to 7 years, but because we invest earlier than VC, you could add 1 year to that, sometimes 2 years. And everybody says, there is no exit. But we did the exit in less than 2 years in 2008, which was called Sendori. So all together was 18 months. We did the exit in 2007 in 9 months, was called Bix. It was sold to Yahoo for $50 million in less than a year, 9 months. So depends if you're building a company to sell, which lately a lot of people are. Like, we have a company called Social Gaming Network, which is a Facebook consolidator application. They are buying one company a month. It's a startup that is buying one company a month. So, to give you an answer, there is small exits. Mm-hmm. I expect it to be in less than 3 years. And then, if you want to really do an IPO, it would take 7 years plus.
How do you apply for the PACT? How does that work, the freelance program?
Great question. I mean, first, we would love to have someone recommend you, somebody who knows you, somebody who knows a little bit about the company. Then we do a little interview, either face-to-face or by phone. Then we kind of invite you there. Some of the organization like Barcelona, actually they have a Barcelona Pavilion in our facility, that after we approve them, actually the Chamber of Commerce of Barcelona even pays their rent and pays part of the trip. But our goal is in that 3 months, either to send them back home or really help them build the company. So it's a little bit of a give and take, and a little bit of like, we like to hear your pitch, your presentation. And again, it's hard to judge in an hour or two, but if you have the passion, we usually approve you.
So how early stage are these companies? Are they typically pre-revenue, for example?
From Europe you're talking about?
Yeah.
Two groups. One is they are 2 to 3 years old, and we like them to have raised professional money, like 1 to 2 million euro. In Spain or in London. And like the couple of them that I'm bringing from Barcelona even have 5 million euro revenue, almost cash flow break even. So that's the later stage one. I call those sort of like business object or MySQL. Then we have a whole group that they almost come before incorporation. So the youth, they don't have a place, or they don't come with a lot of baggage. So the youth says, okay, I have a chance to start in London, or is it better for me to start in Silicon Valley? And they just sometimes come without even a suitcase.
And in your experience, what are those companies looking for at that stage?
I can tell you, in the case of seed round, it is five times easier to raise it. Other than money, they are like, Facebook has taken over half of Palo Alto. So if you want to do a Facebook app, I think you have to be. If you want to do an iPhone app or Android application, you could really immerse yourself in that culture. There is three events a night in within 10-mile radius of Plug and Play. I told you about our events, but all of my business relationship managers, I have 9 of them, they are required to go to 2 outside events a week. It's part of their employment contract. So these youth, the ones that are doing small startups, they sometimes get up and come, and they don't even know what they're going to do yet. You know what I mean? Because 9 out of 10, they don't know what they're going to do. They have an idea, and then within 3-6 months of being in the Bay Area, their idea totally changes. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
You mentioned the importance of networking within the group. How would you see that working practically with international partners? I mean, would it be mini hubs, or how would you see people getting together?
You know, I am kind of a guy who does things first and then fix them along the way. I feel, let's say, if you have, when somebody comes from Italy to Silicon Valley, they usually reach out to their Italian network and get help from them, either for funding or connection, or even for housing, to be frank. But I feel like Plug and Play exaggerates that by 10. You know, so there is an effort out of Politecnico Milano with the incredible non-profit organization, I forget the name of it, that they want to bring 10 companies out of Italy to Silicon Valley. So I am not new at this. Other people have done it, or they are doing it. But they came and saw what we did, and they said, can we have the Italian pavilion inside your facility? And then it's sort of like in Plug and Play, we have to be exact, it's like 220 companies. 150 of them are founded by expats. Not brought in like I'm doing now, but I can tell you, we have 70 Indian founders. I am from Iran. We have 18 Iranian founders. So, for example, from Iran, the biggest success story is French-Iranian, is eBay. But, you know, European founders, we have about 30 right now. Like Lending Club, I mentioned to you a little bit about it, is Renault, is French. He came to Plug and Play with Joaquin, who is from Venezuela, I think, and we closed the $1.7 million angel round for them in less than 30 days. Then I introduced him to Jeff Crow, my really close friend from Norvest, and he led a $10 million round for them in less than a year. And, you know, you could say Renault could have done this on his own, but I think meeting Jeff at Plug and Play was helpful. And there is another French gentleman who started Atreus. His name is Marc Verdil. we have some of these people too. So Mark Verdil sold his last company, LightLogic, for $420 million. And they went to Intel, and they were head of the optic division at Intel. After 5 years, he came out, he brought out four more Europeans with him, and they came straight to plug and play. The initial round for them was $1.8 million with a follow-on from our two VCs. So the two VCs, NEA and Lightspeed, put in $800 each. The angels put in about $800. Then the NEA and Lightspeed had an option to add in $4 million each. So within the first 6 months, the round was about $10 million. And they are connecting via fiber band inside data center. And then just 3 months ago, Atrius, after 18 months of operation, raised another $20 million. And they are like 40 people in plug and play. That is almost like our largest company right now.
And you were saying that you take options on shares or equity in the companies as part of the lease.
Yeah.
I guess the question I have is, one, do you ever get any resistance to that? And two, what's the size of those options that you take?
Great question. It's funny that I put it in the lease, and I also write in there, with the acceptance of the founder and your lead investors. So if the founder and the lead investors doesn't want us in, I don't want to be in. You know, it's not, you cannot be in a relationship if the other people don't want you to be there. So I just want to clarify it that you're here and we're going to help you. And my understanding as of today is I want to have an option. It's usually about 1/10 of the next round. So if they, actually 1/10 to 1/20. So if they want to raise $5 million, we usually have around $200,000-$300,000 option. But it's with consensus of the founder and the lead investor. We don't want to block anything. So, and let's say again, to use an example, MyWave, I mentioned to Pat, Rajiv walked in with $6 million in the bank from Menlo Venture. And then the second round, he had 10 term sheets. He wanted to raise $12 million. And Menlo didn't allow any other VCs, so they put in $12 million. And the only other outside investor was us. And both the founder and the VC wanted us in there.
But if people refuse it, then?
It's no problem.
They don't come in.
What do you mean they do? No, I mean, it has never come up.
Okay.
You know, it is. If somebody wants to give you money, you usually take it. and we don't fix the price.
Yeah.
So the price is based on the next round of funding. Yes, please.
Could I just ask you how, to the extent to which you get involved in the actual running of the companies in a supportive sense, you know, the likes of the finance arrangements, accounting, legal, and that sort of thing, do you provide that centrally to the companies, or do they go and source that themselves, or what advice would you have in that regard to companies that are trying to start up? Because they so often fall over because of the way they're run, as distinct from necessarily having just a good idea.
Yeah, you know, like, after 18 months into this, I commissioned a study from a couple of students at Stanford to go study incubator models and what makes sense and what fails. And when I read the study, I said, you know, you should never open an incubator. They all fail, practically. In the sense of making money, you know, because I personally, after reading that study and studying Ideal Lab, I went and visited Ideal Lab in Pasadena, and I went and visited some of the successful American incubators. I feel you have to be a coach, but not a player. You have to be an advisor, but not a doer. And if the entrepreneur is going to fail a few times, like Peter Thiel and Max at PayPal. But they have to figure out their mistakes. Every time I have got more involved than an advisor to an entrepreneur, I have hurt the company more than helped them. So my idea is, I say what is on my mind, usually, but I think they have to choose a, you know, law firm themselves, they have to choose an accounting firm themselves, they have to budget themselves. You can only coach them a little, but I don't think too much involvement from some, because I have right now this Cornell startup, they think I'm rich, so every time they run out of money, they think since I start them from the idea, they can call on the big brother to pay them. And it's very wrong. I have made a couple of mistakes like that, and nowadays I try to, I'm accessible, but I don't want them to look for money for me only.
If someone,
sorry, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yes, I just wondered to say why you chose Ireland as a country to come to visit on tour.
Why I'm here?
Yeah.
Because of this gentleman, Pat. You know, when I decided to expand internationally, I try to look at the, you know, different models, and you know, just to kind of let you know, I even Cal Poly and Davis in California are looking for me when I go back to share this experience with them. So my idea is, if I think this is a great place, you know, it's a beginning of a really successful journey for the university and for Ireland in general. So my idea is, if I can learn something here, or I'm going to Imperial College on Thursday and I'm going to Cambridge tomorrow, I wanted to learn from each one of these facilities and come up with best practices that we would share with each other around the world. And when I spoke to Pat, because maybe he has more gray hair than me, I really enjoyed his vision and how he brought in the 6 corporate partners. And so that's why I came here. I mean, it's actually the smallest facility I'm visiting.
Is it easy to just arrive in Silicon Valley with a suitcase?
Absolutely.
Is it?
Oh. I love using examples. Let me use an example because it's better to... First, I mean, I can use the example of this Sendori, which is 2 founders, one of them Israeli, Ofer, one of them David, American. They had a little pilot project in Cornell in their dorm room. Then they came to Plug and Play, just the 2 of them. And then, this is 2 years ago, January, February, and then they really worked hard. They raised $1.7 million, and they were strangers. They didn't know anybody. I mean, they came to every one of our pizza parties, you know, because when you don't know anybody and you're 26, 27, you need a place to hang around. But right now, they are a really big part of the community. They just sold their company to Ask.com for $12 million. So it wasn't a great exit. But only 1.7 went in and $12 million exit in 2 years. And now Ofer has contacted me. He has another company he would like me to look at. He hasn't even put the money in the bank yet. So, again, this guy was from Ithaca, which is almost like farther than Europe. But he was originally from Israel. Thank you, yes, please.
So just one question. I work here as part of the NOCA team, and all the stuff that you're talking about here sounds really exciting, the things that happened in Silicon Valley, and I think we've also had, you know, a view on the activities that take place there, the number of events that go on, and the people, the numbers of people who go to them. Something that I struggle with is, we run these types of events, but we struggle to get, you know, a critical mass of people coming to them. So once you've done your tour of Cambridge and Imperia and other places in Europe, it'd be really interesting to get your perspective on the culture. But I think it comes down to cultural differences, as to what other people in other centres do to try and create that interest and that network. And actually, people in this room, I think, could maybe give us some advice as to, you know, what do we need to be doing better to get people to come, because you try different models, but it just doesn't always work. So your perspective after your tour would be really interesting.
And I would love to extend an invitation for you to come to Plug and Play for a week, for a month, for 3 months. And I will send people here, because I think other than reading about my findings this trip, you know, I love little stories. I went to Spain to do my bottled water business, and I told the Guinness was my partner, Cruz Campo, which was owned by Guinness. So I met this gentleman, Alan Peters and Juan Cusco, and I said, I want to do a bottled water company, which the salesmen are college graduates, and I want to pay them on commission. And they don't say, you're nuts. Nobody will work for you, door-to-door salesman with a college degree, and work on commission. 70% commission, 30% base. So, and that was a huge cultural shock, because they said things are different in Spain, things are different in France. And in France they were. I had a really hard time in France. But in Spain in particular, I asked Juan Cusco and Alan, let us run it for a year or two. And if we fail, we'll go with your style of management. And we started a small water company inside the brewery in Valencia. And then within 3-4 years, Guinness had groups come and see how we motivate people, how we incentivize people. And my interns, I only hired interns into the management. My first intern is our sales manager, managing 250 people right now. So my idea is, some things you cannot change. The culture you cannot change. The salary system you cannot change. But I really feel in the technology world, it's a lot more similar all around the world. Especially if you are trying to find, you know, excited, motivated entrepreneurs, and then help them. And if they don't need to, they don't want to be helped, you cannot help them. So my idea is, I would love to share with you what I find out, but more importantly, I would love that if you come there, and we'll have you shadow one of my business relationship manager for a week, for a month, as long as you want.
Have you been tempted at all to get involved in bio or pharma or stay where you want?
I did not know, believe it or not. I mean, I tell them I'm in real estate and bottled water business. That's my day job. But I'm learning about Web 2.0, SaaS, mobile, etc. The pharma is something that you have to have a longer horizon. And I think there is a lot of great people in it. We have a great company called NextBio, which is the in Google equivalent for pharma. So we do a little bit of information system for pharma, but I am very focused on clean tech. We started an initiative 3 months ago, and we want to open up a clean tech plug-and-play campus before the end of this year, because there is more money in it. Thank you very, very much, everybody. Sorry I talked so much.
I'd just like to thank Saeed for, I suppose, inspiring the presentation. We'd love to be more alike, and I think all we can do is keep striving and trying to give more people the courage to invest in startups and to get involved. So thank you very much, Sai.
Thank you, everybody. Here's some business cards if you would like. And